our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Ralph Nader, Sovereignty of the People, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 10 o'clock. Coming up next is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre, followed by Flashpoints, followed by Stage and Studio with D-May Roberts, and followed by Art Focus with Andre Middleton. I have an important announcement. Activist and author Ralph Nader, who we just heard, will be speaking at two events in Portland this Saturday. He'll be talking about his new book, Breaking Through Power, at noon at Powell's City of Books, and he is scheduled to speak on getting the money out of politics at the First Unitarian Church at 1211 Southwest Main Street from 6 to 7 p.m. He will endorse Multnomah County Ballot Measures 26-184 that seeks to remove big money from politics. And here's Air Cascadia right after this brief announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Friends of the Library used book sale Friday, October 21st through Monday, October 24th at the Doubletree Exhibit Hall in Portland. Thousands of gently used books, media, pamphlets, and more will be available for purchase. Again, that's the Friends of the Library used book sale Friday, October 21st through Monday, October 24th at the Doubletree Exhibit Hall, 1000 Northeast Multnomah Street in Portland. More events can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air and at kboo.fm on the web. Little bit of weather today, just to get things rolling. We talked about that yesterday. Weather always ought to prompt consideration of where we live and how we live, and what perspective that provides us onto the rest of the world. Russia, perhaps, would be a good place to turn our thoughts today. Also, the triple-headed monster that is evolving and emerging out of the volatile Middle East. These are thoughts that We might as well bring with us when we visit the weather. That said, it's 50-50 as far as showers today. I'd say mostly on the shower side, if I were a betting woman, and I am. Overcast skies, highs around 59, and southwest winds 8 miles per hour. So, and for tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 51, and not much wind. Very light. For tomorrow, tapering off as far as rain is concerned, and partly sunny. We might even get a bit of that with a high near 62 tomorrow night. Again, overcast skies and lows around 52. And that's it for the weather today. Amy Goodman managed to not actually go to court, and her charges were modified. It would maybe be cynical to suggest what we're, you are in her place, that we might be seeing a little bit more of the inside of that North Dakota courtroom. Just saying it. And that's one of the facts of life, you know. There's plenty of people that are in jail. Right now, recently, I believe he's out now, a member of the Salila YM tribe attempted to fish in the traditional ancestral fishing grounds, a site on the Columbia River, where the Salila YM have fished for 10,000 years. And he was arrested for fishing on a spot that his cellular memory, his muscle memory, would have to take him back to. Just as, you know, in a way, not to be too trite about it, but just as salmon return to their places where they spawn traditionally. So life on the river these days, life for river people, is a far cry from what it was 5,000-10,000 years ago, though of course there was tumult, turbulence, always in a system that flows. You can have a system that flows smoothly with no interruptions, no obstacles whatsoever, and that flow will suddenly and apparently spontaneously be disrupted by turbulence. We know this. It's impossible to predict that turbulence even in an absolute steady state system. If we were able to predict that, we'd be able to predict things like the weather, like the stock market, like the possibility, the probability of conflict. But we don't. We don't know that. And so a system flowing apparently smoothly can be disrupted by turbulence. There are so many variables in the system that it's impossible to calculate. So we watch the river flow, and we watch the salmon attempt to return to their spawning grounds over and under and above, and sometimes driving around the dams that we put on this river. And then we watch traditional river people who have a right to fish the Columbia River and have had that right for many thousands of years. We stand and watch those people getting arrested. That's where we live. That's where we live. That's where we plant our feet in the ground. That's why we watch the weather, because it comes down on us all. We're sort of waiting around right now, hopefully to speak with Katrina Vandenhoevel and or Gilbert Doctorow. They are joining us today, we anticipate, because of a developing situation. Voice of America reports that Gorbachev is warning U.S.-Russian tensions are at a dangerous point, and that and the Voice of America goes on to say, and I'm going to quote because these guests haven't appeared yet. His comments followed a series of issues that have strained relations between Washington and Moscow. And how? He didn't say that, I did. Among them are the war in Syria and U.S. accusations that Russia is involved in cyber attacks aimed at disrupting U.S. elections next month. Well, when you have conditions which anyone can observe, it's probably better to just leave it and let others observe it rather than making statements about it. Gorbachev said the world has reached a dangerous point. We want to speak with Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editor and publisher of The Nation. She said that it's not pro-Putin or pro-Trump, but rather sober realism to argue that the U.S. needs to partner with Russia to resolve the Syrian crisis and to combat terrorism and to tackle nuclear proliferation and global warming. Alarmist and still unsubstantiated allegations about cyber attacks are designed to squelch an urgently needed debate about U.S.-Russian relations. We could easily, we are in fact slipping into a Cold War conditions right now. The chill is definitely in the air, and allowing that to happen, allowing that long, slow slide to take place would be foolish. One might argue that the U.S. is frantically attempting, has suddenly woke up and realized that they've squandered years and trillions of dollars policing a world in which turbulence is inevitable no matter what one does. Meanwhile, the Chinese have been creating economic networks across the globe, permitting them to rule the next 100 years. This is a harsh realization to awaken to. War is a drug. It tranquilizes. It is a person. It makes a lot of noise. And we would suggest that something's being done, whereas actually something's being destroyed, not done. That said, those being the conditions on the ground, we really want to remind ourselves that right here at home in the Dakotas and along the route of this odious Dakota Access pipeline, $2 million in damage has been done by arson. Now, one would certainly, and many people are cheerfully pointing a big bad finger at those who are in the region to protect the water, the land, protect what they have left of their ancestral burying places. And they probably aren't there to commit acts of arson, already having enough trouble attempting to keep famous journalists like Amy Goodman out of the slammer. So that said, the FBI has launched an investigation into this series of fires along the Bakken oil pipeline construction. This is in Jasper County, not Martin County. The latest incident was reported at the weekend near a place called Reasoner. The Reasoner assistant fire chief says that he suspects pipeline protesters. Don Steenbeck says that they're not getting back at the pipeline, they're just hurting the guys trying to make a living and put it in. Well, you know, sometimes the people who ran, you know, we always cite the Holocaust, people who ran the death camps were just trying to make a living. You know, it's all about the jobs, isn't it? So the fire chief goes on saying, assistant fire chief, sorry, definitely frustrating when one event like this paints a larger pipeline resistance movement as being violent. This from Adam Mason of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. We're going to be going back to revisiting the protesters, the protectors in Iowa tomorrow and hear their take on it. Questions were also raised about protesters' involvement in fires that took place in August. Jasper County investigators said that they can't confirm if the two incidents are connected. But that said, it's very tempting to think that possibly they are related and possibly they could be traced back to the pipeline proponents themselves, who oftentimes we see those who are on the opposing side of this type of a dispute will commit acts of this sort in order to defame the protesters, the ones defending air, water, defending the environment. It's based on ignorance, not understanding why these systems are all interconnected, why all of these systems are the foundation of life on Earth. That's something people don't understand. One thing they understand is a paycheck and a job, and they're willing to sacrifice the long-term survival of the human species and indeed the planet itself in the name of short-term minimum wage jobs that permit them to buy a car and a telly and a packet of chips. Portland, Oregon, without changes to state law, the Portland City Council is going to be unable to end no-cause evictions in the city. That is the Oregonians' take on it. The Oregonian Legislative Council shows that state law clearly permits a landlord to end month-to-month leases without providing reasons, as long as the landlord provides appropriate notice. Well, that's little consolation when one is leaving one's home, especially since providing appropriate notice could mean anything, and especially in Portland's current housing market. And this is a scary situation. This is and a little bit difficult to put together. A Squamish tribe descendant, Janetta Riley, a mother of four, was lying face down on a Sanford, Idaho street. 1 minute earlier, three police officers had arrived, summoned by staff at a nearby hospital. Janetta's husband had sought help there because Riley, homeless, pregnant, and with a history of mental illness, was